Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots nonprofit radio station in Laguna Beach from anywhere in the world on KX93.5.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. Right now, here's the Importance of Being podcast on KX93.5.
KXRN LP Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach. Member supported KX93.5.
Top of the morning to you. This is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show, featuring live, unscripted conversations with people making a difference. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman, and we do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. Before we get started, just want to let you know, well, gosh, it's a pretty gorgeous day out there, but this weekend is the last weekend of concerts in the park. I believe they're having a Santana tribute band. And that starts at 5 and goes till 7. So that kind of marks the end of summer, or at least that means that the time is running out. Anyway, this is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show, and we'll be right back to get the show started. Really? Well, eventually.
Yeah.
Alrighty, this is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And I say this a lot, but I really, really mean it this time. I am delighted to have in studio this morning Jessica Block and her mom, Joan Corman. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Yes, it's lovely to have you in studio. So, Jessica, summer's almost over, and that means that you have to go back to being an adult. So, what do you do? Well, first off, you live in Seattle, right?
I do. I live in Seattle. I've been there for about 12 years now, which is hard to believe. Turned 18 and kind of booked it.
Booked it.
And so you, Northwest.
But you grew up here, right?
Yeah, I grew up here. Just through and through. And my goodness, my family's been here for about 100 years. So I was,
grandma. Yeah. Your mom doesn't look quite that old, but okay.
She's aged very well. My family lives in my great grandmother's cottage in North Laguna.
Wow.
So there's a lot of history with my family in this town. So
okay.
I don't live here, but like I live here.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I think it does. I think you, it's the, you can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the Laguna Beach out of the girl.
Definitely not. No. It's Laguna through and through. But I have acclimated to Seattle.
Oh. Okay.
I wear a lot of black now.
Okay.
Yeah. But, I've been there for about 12 years, and I went to the University of Washington up there where I studied psychology.
UW.
Yep. And now I am working at a nonprofit in Seattle called Horizon House.
Okay. And what do they do there?
It is
so you have to let me ask some questions.
Okay. I'm so used to explaining myself. It's a retirement community.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's that about? Are you... Well, I'll let you explain it before I step in it.
It's kind of a really interesting structure. It's a nonprofit retirement community, which is slightly rare.
Okay.
And it's been in Seattle since the 60s. And it has about 400 residents, and they all own apartments and condos within the facility. And they have a supported living and memory care. So if people eventually need to transition into supported living or memory support, they can. And that's where I work.
Okay, and so what exactly do you do in that arena?
I am in this interesting position. It's called life enrichment.
Okay.
So I kind of tell people I get paid to be everybody's friend.
Like a camp counselor, only they're very adult.
A very mellow camp counselor, because otherwise I think they'd throw me out. But so I have about 80 to 90 residents at any point in time.
Okay.
And I work with them to enrich their lives during their final chapter.
Oh, that's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah, really get to know them and who they are in their personal history and what they need.
That's a job?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's pretty cool.
It's an amazing job. I feel very, very blessed to be there and to get to know these people and the history that they all have behind them. Mm-hmm. So many incredible human beings are living.
Sure. And as their memory goes, those stories can be lost to the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the who they were and all of that.
Yeah, we have city council members, former city council members. We have an old judge. We call him Judge, but he was a senator for a while. We have so many different doctors and all, you know, women that have like 4 or 5 degrees, but
wait a second. I mean, they're also experiencing memory issues and Alzheimer's type symptoms and that kind of thing. So it strikes across the board then, apparently.
Yeah, there's different levels. So some people are in there because they have some physical disabilities that make them need extra support.
Okay.
And some people are in there because they're living with different cognitive changes.
Okay.
That cause them to get more support. But we do have a locked-in facility for memory care if they have Alzheimer's or dementia that has progressed to the point of needing.
Okay, got it.
That level of care.
Right. They can
wait.
Wander.
If you're gonna talk into the mic.
Get up there, Mom.
Or whisper in her ear.
Well, I just about the locked unit. That's strictly to protect them because sometimes these elderly people with dementia will just wander off.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
I've called eloping.
Eloping,
which makes it sound really romantic. Whenever I tell my friends somebody eloped, they're like, "Why just stop him?" Like, I'm like, no.
He was gonna fall off the ladder.
Yeah. Yep.
They would both tumble. Joan, you also do some work in that area, correct?
Correct. I'm a hospice nurse with Care Choices Hospice, and also working with people with their very last and final chapters.
And in fact, you've been on my show before.
Once before.
Early on, right?
Mm-hmm. With Eileen Algaze. Right.
All right.
Eileen Algaze.
And that was an interesting show because she announced that she chose hospice.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you're not...
seeking aggressive care.
Right.
So many people still get all the care that they want.
Yes.
And particularly in the way of comfort. But with our hospice now, they're having what they call a palliative care program.
Mm-hmm.
So that the insurance companies are actually stepping in.
So just for the people who don't know what that means.
It actually, when you say palliative care, hospice provides palliative care. But this program called the palliative care program allows people to continue to get their chemo, aggressive care, and then also get some supportive care from the hospice nurses.
Oh, okay. So a transition or a hybrid of the two.
Right.
Huh. And back to the camp counselor.
Yes.
What kind of activities do you work with them on? Because I think that also ties into your mom and your relationship.
Everything goes back to my mom, just because I'm totally morphing into her, as we were talking about earlier. But I really focus on art. My background's in art and art therapy.
Okay. And your mom over there, do you have anything to do with art?
I do. I just feel like...
Was your face on the side of the bus at one point?
I was exhibiting at the Sawdust Festival. That was fun.
On the side of a bus.
For a whole year.
Yeah.
So you've taken the art that I guess you grew up with, mm-hmm. and turned that into something therapeutic, which I guess is also in line with what your mom does when she's a nurse.
Absolutely. And it took me a while. I didn't go to the University of Washington until I was about 26. Okay. So,
Yeah.
It took me a while to get there. But when I got there, I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to do art therapy. I want to work with death and dying. And then I was like, and I am my mother. And that's okay. But
Well, Mom, watch out for your purses.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to have more of the Importance of Being show with my guests this morning, Jessica Block and Joan Corman. This is KX 93.5, And now I understand why I couldn't get the thing to work because the mouse was on the wrong side of the thing. Anyway, this is KX93.5. We'll be right back.
Will I find my way out? Or am I stuck in here forever? Forever.
I don't know you.
All right, this is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And today I am super happy to have a dear friend of mine, Joan Corman, artist, nurse, hospice person, and her lovely daughter, Jessica Block, and artist,
death and dying, death person.
Yeah, so you guys, the apple hasn't fallen far from the tree in many ways. So you've moved up to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
You're now working in an adult facility,
mm-hmm.
and for elderly people, essentially, and it has many levels and phases of kinds of support that they can provide. And you mentioned that you're sort of a camp counselor for that generation.
Yes.
And what are some of the programs that you guys do to help enrich their lives? Because I think that's the term they use for your position, right?
Yeah, I'm part of the life enrichment team.
Okay.
So there's about five of us, and I work with the most impaired residents.
Okay. Oh.
So I focus a lot on music, actually, which sure a lot of the people out there can relate to, because music is the one thing that we can all connect with no matter what level of so it's been a really powerful tool. I use a program called Music and Memory.
There's such a thing.
And every resident has a little iPod.
Really?
That I set up with custom music for them.
Oh. And so you
future did... job for you, Ernest.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. When my dad was bedridden and in home care, he wasn't very verbal.
Mm-hmm.
Was, you know, monosyllabic, nodding the head. And I, you know, was wondering if that's, you know, like the cognition issues or what it was. But I sort of came to the conclusion that he was just really bored. And it just wasn't any stimulation. And so I did like a photo slideshow type of thing set to a song. And he would just perk up and start, you know, doing stuff. And so I was like, oh, you know, maybe that's the thing. And I've heard other people talk about how if they hear songs that they knew, it opens them back up.
Yeah, it's kind of like how right now you can walk down the street and all of a sudden you'll smell a flower. And it might be a flower. This happens to me in Seattle. And there's like this one bush that blooms in Seattle in the spring. And it was one that was at my childhood house by the high school that you know, Ernest.
All too well.
And it always just like that smell just brings me back. But I'm able to like cognitively make sense of it and, you know, verbalize it to people and talk about it. But when you're sort of locked inside, which is what happens a lot with individuals living with Alzheimer's and dementia, they don't really have that. So,
but they're still in there.
They're still in there. So my job is to really find the things that bring them out. So okay. I do a lot of sensory experience, and the strongest one right now is music.
Oh, okay. And how do you figure out what connects with them? Do you interview their children, or do you just give them, put the lamp in their face and say?
I try no bright lights. I try not to do that. That's kind of been one of the things that has been the hardest, because not all family members are receptive to working with us.
Okay.
And that's, I think that's largely due to our society's sort of like death phobia.
What? Wait.
Weird, right?
That's crazy talk.
Do you want me to leave? Should I?
That's enough of you.
Yeah. So the fact that family members are so, you know, put off by their parents and how they progressed, or that we have.
Well, that is tough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, talking with you about it and sharing my experience where I recently lost my grandfather and my father both to dementia. So you have to be okay with the changes and accept them as they come and know what brings them comfort rather than fighting it.
Well, and I suspect that it's much harder for them to lose everything that's made them themselves than it is for you to see them in that situation.
Mm-hmm. And it's been, you know, that's the hardest part for me is to watch the family members not able. I don't want to say willing, because I'm sure if they could do it, they would, but they're not able to
and they
connect
just
with them.
Don't know what they don't know, right?
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we have one resident whose son comes in and says that you're embarrassing me to his mother. And that breaks my heart.
Oh, God.
Wow. She can't help it.
It's like it's about me. Come on, Mom.
Yeah. And it's like embarrassing to who? She's in memory support. Everybody around here is just doing their own thing. Like nobody cares.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's life, right? You can't, it's not something, I mean, if we could fix it, we would fix it. But, you know, your systems are kind of just breaking down.
Yeah.
So what drew you to this?
Well,
I mean, because, you know, you grew up in Laguna Beach, your mom painted lovely pictures of palm trees and koi fish.
That's exactly how I describe her to people. My mom
and
was just painting palm trees. Yeah.
She was on the side of the bus for so long.
I'll add that now that I know. Yeah, so it's actually kind of a full circle again back to my mother, because as I was studying psychology and going into art therapy, and my mom was transitioning from artist to hospice nurse.
Right.
Although
right.
You'll always be an artist. Mm-hmm. As she was making that transition, we started discussing more with each other, because we're pretty close, about death and dying and how our family members have died and our grief, and noticed that the way that we've experienced it is different from the way that a large majority of Americans
do.
Like, my great-grandmother died in the cottage that we now live in.
Oh, okay.
My grandma, my grandfather, and my aunt all died in the same bedroom. Different times. the same bedroom at our house, their house in Washington.
For everyone.
I know. 1, 2, 3.
And that's really the best outcome for anyone is to die at home with your family around you.
Right, right. Well, yeah. And in familiar surroundings. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad was in, he fell and he was in physical therapy. And so they sent him to a skilled nursing facility. And, you know, my aunt would go and see him and I would come and see him. But he spent all of his time when you were there looking at the clock, wondering how long you were going to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he was at home, I'd come through and, you know, do what I need to do, talk to him for a little while, watch a little TV with him. And then when I had to go, he was like, oh, okay, see ya. You know, it just wasn't any tension or emotion, you know, tied to it.
Yeah.
So Joan, you're an artist. How did you get into being a hospice nurse?
I was influenced by my grandmother, the one that died in the house where we now live. She was a nurse in World War I in France. And when she got to be a 98 years old, she had had a couple of falls. But she, well, first of all, she was ready to die sooner. But when I got pregnant with Jessica, she said she was going to stay alive until Jessica was born. And she did, and then some. But then she got this gangrene on her toe.
Oh.
And they wanted to cut it off because that would be the only way they could really cure her of the gangrene and save her life.
Right.
And she said, no, she's not going to go through that. She talked to her doctor at the time, and she set up her own little hospice program. So she had pain medications
and
at home.
She was a nurse, right?
She was a nurse.
She could boss people around
she
with
was
the best
doing
of them.
She was a very bossy woman. Yeah. She knew what she wanted, and she got her way. So my mom and her sister took care of my grandmother. She had her last meal that was her meal of her choice. We all sat and had a family meal with her, the Last Supper, and she said, I'm going to bed now. Don't give me anything more to eat or drink. You can just moisten my lips, and if I moan, give me these suppositories that the doctor prescribed.
Wow.
So that's how she died.
And she just
went
completely in charge of it.
Yeah.
Huh. But that wasn't the story I was fishing for.
Sorry.
I was thinking more of a story of your dad and you wanting to do art and him wanting you to be practical.
Oh, and be a nurse instead of an artist. Right, right. Well, my grandmother encouraged me, too, to go into the nursing. And they both promised me, we'll go to nursing and then we'll help you through art school. And so then when I got through nursing, they said, well, now you can pay for your own art school.
Right.
You can afford it, right?
You don't need us.
But I always, even through art school, I was lucky to get a job in the medical illustrations department of the hospital for my part-time job.
And so you were able to put those two things together.
Yes. So it's always been part of my life, art and nursing. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being show. We do the show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. My guests today are Joan Corman and Jessica Block, mother and daughter, death and dying people. All right. We'll be right back. This is KX93.5.
Into my life. chasing the crowd. You were just a face in the crowd, out in the street, thinking out loud. A face in the crowd.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Being drawn, nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. A field day for the heat, a thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Okie dokie. This is KX93.5, and you're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Heckman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10, and it is truly a treat to have my dear friend Joan Corman artist, nurse, hospice care person, and her daughter, Jessica Block, who is following closely in her footsteps and is starting to sound a lot like her.
Oh, no.
So you both gravitated to life. Well, the final chapter, I think, is the way that you put it. The final chapter of life and focused on that kind of thing. And you're mixing art into an enrichment program for older adults. What, how did you think that, did you know that was going to work? I mean, because you were studying psychology and you kind of knew your mom was doing the hospice thing and you know, your family members are getting older and all of that. Mm-hmm. But how did you make the connection that enrichment was what was needed?
Well, when I was studying psychology and talking with my mom a bunch, as usual, and realizing that there was just such a disconnect within our culture between life and death, really. So this disconnect between death and dying, I decided to pursue that largely through academics. So every class I took, everything, I would just be like, all right, well, I'm going to write my paper about death. So do you mind? They're like, all right, I don't really, sure.
She's already wearing black, so.
I know. It was the final transition. And so I started studying death and dying hardcore, really, with art therapy.
Oh.
And while I was doing that,
And this is while you're in school.
Yeah. And so then I started a side project that I started hosting. We call them death dinners. So every month I would start hosting discussion groups about a specific topic within the realm of death and dying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And is this with professionals or?
Sometimes, yeah. I would have guest speakers come in. Oftentimes it was the group that would form. Sometimes it would be about five of us, and sometimes it's about 30. Mm. It just depends on the topic and the weather, because that'll keep people away.
Right,
sure,
it
in
is Seattle,
Seattle
by the way, yes.
And we will pick a topic, and I'll research it and help guide us through a discussion.
Huh.
And it's something that I was doing for about 3 years.
So everybody's going to go through this themselves, mm-hmm. or they're going to help guide their loved ones through it. Are there some things about death and dying that people don't understand that maybe you can share with us?
Ooh, that they don't understand.
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot that they don't understand because you've been really deep into it. But, you know, I guess if there were like three tips or listicle.
Yeah, I think that it doesn't have to be painful. I think that's something that people can understand, and that's like a physical and emotional pain necessarily. Mm-hmm. Like there are ways to have a peaceful, beautiful death surrounded.
Well, you know, I guess that is a thing because, you know, there was a point at which when I personally, for me, I went through this with my dad, and there was a point in which when he clearly did not want to die and he was afraid to die.
Mm-hmm. And terminal agitation, that's called.
What's that?
Terminal agitation.
Okay.
So as you get closer and closer to death and the body starts shutting down, the system starts shutting down, that creates a chemical anxiety.
Oh, okay.
Within your body. But it's a normal reaction. But that's something that hospice can help provide and see the path ahead.
Right.
There are signs and symptoms that...
And then help the caregivers and responsible people
right, and
understand where they are.
Exactly. And that it's normal. It's to be expected. Give them the Ativan. You know, if they're having pain or shortness of breath, morphine is a real true blessing. So it really can't add to comfort to the last few days.
Sorry.
You know? Yes.
Right, yeah. right.
So, and also fever. But I think one of the things that I know when I came and visited one of your death dinners that I thought was very special is that you're encouraging the young people at like her age to get their advanced directives in healthcare. Advanced directives.
Oh, yes.
Clearly stated. Write them down. Right. Let your loved ones know what you want if you're not able to make your own decision.
That's a lot of what I do. It's my goal is to help curate positive death culture in America through art.
Wow.
I know. Sometimes I'm like, I really got to get the art thing off of there, but I can't help it. I have to put art in it. And largely the art has been through the art of conversation and storytelling. So getting people together to share their concerns or their personal journeys about death and dying.
Well, let's go back a little bit because you I think you touched on something. So you do something related to death and dying, mm-hmm. and then there's art.
Yeah.
How did you know that that was going to be that needed to be a part of it?
Probably just because it's helped me and my family so much.
Okay.
And so many people just sort of, we get raised in this society where you think that art can only be done by the masters or that it has to look the certain way.
Well, yeah, there's either finger painting mm-hmm. or there's, you know, Joan.
Stick figures, yeah.
Picture and on the side of the bus.
Absolutely. I am so far from an artist like my mother. My mom and my grandmother and my brother even do such fine, detailed, very precise work.
Yours are more abstract.
Absolutely. Abstract, mixed media. I'll make
free expressive.
Wonderful. I have a giant art installation at this music venue in Seattle, and it's just made out of coffee filters and chicken wire. You know, free form.
Right.
Hanging from ceilings. Like, it's just very.
So you are an artist. It's in there.
It's definitely in there. It's absolutely in there. I can't get rid of that either. It's like the Laguna Beach artist thing is just in the
blood. All you need is one of her purses and you'll be.
I have one. Yeah. Yeah. But I think it's been a really awesome experience to get people to open the discussion to death and dying.
And when you do your job well, what do you get out of it? What does it feel like?
Oh my gosh. Well, I have like 80 new best friends. So that's awesome. You know, I've connected with so many of these residents, and some of them I can connect with, and they'll sit and ask me about my mom because they're able to. You know, they'll ask me about my trip home and like where my apartment is and have those conversations. And other ones, you know, are totally nonverbal, but will hold my hand and give me a hug and want to walk with me.
Aww.
And have that kind of relationship.
Sit by you.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just buddies.
Huh.
And we're buddies in a very different way where, like, I bring them comfort and joy because I'm a constant for them. And they're a constant for me, too.
Right, right.
So, I mean, it kind of just feels like family, really.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So you just get paid to hang out with your family.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no arguments at the Thanksgiving table.
Oh, my gosh. It gets pretty wild down there. Let's not say that one. But, yeah, they're just my buddies. And it feels great. It's helped me a lot through my own personal journey with losing my grandfather and dealing with my father's death.
Right, right.
So taking care of them is a way for me to also take care of my family and take care of myself.
Well, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's an amazing story. And thank you so much for being at La Serena the other day.
I had to get that salad, yeah.
Otherwise, I'd just be playing songs today. And Joan, always nice to see you. And keep up the good work as well.
Thank you, Ernest.
Thank you for having us.
That was quite a pleasure. So thanks again. Okay, folks, you've been listening to The Importance of Being Show. That's all we have for you today. Coming up next is Steve Reed and the Coast Highway Shuffle. please stay with us for the rest of the day. And be sure to tune in next week for another exciting episode of The Importance of Being Show. This is KX93.5. Have a great Sunday, everyone.
Anyways, I'll never get
if it's not supposed to be.